remember your Creator in the days of your youth.
Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Ecclesiastes.
Fit your Creator into your plan of life. Fit your Creator into your intellectual life. Don't limit it. Let it run free. Let it run fast and let it go and experience the fulfillment of all that your mind will let you. But keep him in focus.
Deep down, all of us long to find true meaning in our lives. But sometimes, even in the midst of success and prosperity, all we feel is a haunting sense of emptiness and despair. Well, today on Insight for Living, we'll explore a book of the Bible that talks about searching for the meaning of life. Chuck Swindoll picks up where we left off yesterday in a survey of Ecclesiastes. Perhaps you've come to a place in your life where you're longing for significance in the midst of your daily routine. Why can't you seem to find the satisfaction you're craving? Well, with ancient biblical wisdom, here's Chuck Swindoll.
Solomon is honest enough to say, I had struggles like you can't believe. And I'll tell you what I went through as I searched for happiness without God. And he tells you about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. There is hopelessness, there is despair, there is emptiness, purposelessness. And so he begins to pursue the things that he thinks will satisfy. He begins a hedonistic pursuit in chapter 2. Turn there. He begins the pursuit that says, pleasure at all cost. Verse 1, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. The same old playboy philosophy. Behold, it was futility. I said of laughter, it's madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? You know, a laugh a day doesn't work. How about a bottle a day? So chapter 2, verse 3, he turns to booze. I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, while my mind was guiding me wisely in how to take hold of folly, until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. That didn't work. And so since laughter wasn't working and drink wasn't working, let's do things with my hands. So I engaged in construction. Verse 4, I built houses. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I brought male and female slaves, and I had home-born slaves. I possessed flocks and herds. I got into livestock. Does that sound like today's man? Oh, the Bible is so relevant. I possessed flocks and herds larger and larger than all preceded me in Jerusalem. He even got into that scene. I collected for myself silver and gold. He had coin collections and precious gems. And the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men. There were gestures. There were choirs that came and entertained me. And I sat back and drank it in, and it didn't satisfy. I had many concubines. I went the sex trip. I went that whole scene. I took the whole nine yards. And that wasn't where it was. And I considered all my activities, verse 11, after all the things my eyes desired, I didn't refuse them, verse 10. I took all my activities which my hands had done, and behold, all of it was a bag of wind. To him, all became vanity and futility. Look at verse 20. I completely despaired. Look at those words. I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. That's a man in midlife crisis, if you've ever read him. Solomon turns to fatalism in chapter 3. There's a time for this, there's a time for that. Then there's a humanism that comes into the scene. I know, verse 12, that there's nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. Verse 15, that which has been already and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there's wickedness, in the place of righteousness there is wickedness, and I'm confused. Verse 20, we all go to the same place. Why sweat it? That's cynicism to the maximum. He observes oppression, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. He sees poverty. He sees pain. He sees abuse. He sees crime. He sees the social life. And he says it's better not to be born. In verses 4 through 6, he looks at industry and idleness. And he says the industrious is envied by his neighbor, and the idle doesn't get the job done and it caves in on him. You can't win one way or the other. He looks at solitude and loneliness in verses 7 and 8. He looks at companionship in verses 9 through 12, and that doesn't fit. And he looks 13 through 16 at popularity, and that doesn't fit. Chapter 5, the same. Chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, 9, 10, until chapter 11. Chapter 11, there is a switch. The whole smorgasbord has sort of passed in review. And now he begins to pass along a little advice. He's come to a pause in his pursuits, and he says it's time to write a chapter. And maybe someone someday will read it. In verses 1 through 6, he talks about the investment of your life. In verses 7 through 8, the enjoyment of life. And 9 and 10, the end of life. You want a good devotional to bring to a secular group? Have at it. There it is, right in front of you. Is life worth spending? If it's worth spending, it's worth spending on someone other than myself. I've learned that, says Solomon. Cast your bread on the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Look at verse 9. He says, rejoice, young man, in your youth, and let your heart make you happy in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of your own desire, and let your eyes be satisfied and your heart be pleased. But for all of this, God will bring you into account. Remove vexation from your heart. Put pain away from your body. Childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. When you get old, you start talking like that. Oh, remember how things used to be. Or, oh, if I had it to do over again and all of that. What are we doing? We're reflecting back on the prime of life. And as I look out into your faces, I see most of you in the prime of life. I think, what a relevant message. A hitch in the Marine Corps did more for me than any 20 years in a seminary would ever do regarding life. I saw it in the raw, I mean filthy raw of life. By the grace of God, I've experienced a protective shield from the blast of the flesh, but it was tough. But as a result of that perspective God gave me, I was able to minister only for a few months, 18 months on an island overseas. But I tell you, I saw men picked up from the gutter. One young man stumbled in on a New Year's night, and I happened to be there writing a letter to my wife. I was the only one, I think, in the world at the base on New Year's night. And I heard the door open, and I heard him crying. 19-year-old young man from Idaho. He shuffled down and ran into several lockers on the way down, and he fell over in his vomit right behind me, right where I was sitting. I turned around, and I called him by name. And he said, I need help. And he began to describe where he had been and what he had done. And he was convinced that he was diseased. His mouth, his person, he was the living end of life in its degradation. And I picked him up and I put my arms around him and I said, you have come to the place where God wanted you to be years ago. Let's deal with it right now. I cleaned him up, showered him, got him sober. At 2 o'clock in the morning, outside under the moon, This guy gave his life to Jesus Christ. He said, I've never known what it meant to be really clean. As he began to pour out his life. And he said, I just wish that I could erase about 5 bad years. He did have a disease. It did take its toll on him. As far as I know, he's doing okay now. But here he was, not even 20 years old. Never had a father tell him what you just heard. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's smart. That's smart. Fit your Creator into your plan of life. Fit your Creator into your intellectual life. Don't limit it. Let it run free. Let it run fast and let it go and experience the fulfillment of all that your mind will let you. But keep Him in focus. You don't have to cut off your head and commit intellectual suicide because you're a Christian. Some of the sharpest people you'll ever want to meet are believers on the cutting edge of the intellectual world. It's a beautiful blend to watch. And he says, remember him early in life. That's smart. Before the scars come and dull the edge. And you have to look back and say, when the years are over, I have no delight in them. Ugh. Do that before old age comes. One of the most interesting, and there's even a little humor in this description of old age. An interesting list of old age characteristics is right here in chapter 12. Look at them with me for a moment. Life really does creep up on you. I told you before, about the time your face clears up, your mind gets fuzzy. And here's old Solomon describing it right now. Remember your Creator before the sun, the light, the moon, the stars are darkened, before the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the watchmen of the house tremble. There's a picture of the hands beginning to tremble. And the mighty men stoop. That's the legs. They get weary. They get weak. The grinding ones stand idle. Can you guess what that is? Right. They get less and less in your jaws. And those who look through windows grow dim. That's your eyes. You can't see like you used to see. Man, I realize that. My lenses are so thick when I look at the sun, my pupils smoke. I went to my ophthalmologist. I said, that's it. I look like a snake behind this glass. He says, they're not going to get any thinner. I can't wear contacts. I can't blink over the edges. They'd be that thick. It's incredible. And I got to have bright lights now. I used to be able to read with a flashlight in a tent. Remember? You leave them around in there. Not now. I got to have 1,000 watts on top to see the words. And the doors on the street are shut, and the sound of the grinding mill is low. That's your ears. You get hard of hearing. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. That's insomnia. You wake up early. You get old. You older. You wake up earlier and earlier. And boy, I used to think, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sleep late like the young folks do. And I'm getting up at 5 o'clock. I feel like a dummy. I'm out on the patio listening to the birds sing, wondering why I can't sleep. Everybody else is sleeping. I want to say, wake up, guys. If I wake up, everybody else wakes up. Men are afraid of high places and of the terror on the road. That happens when you get old. You take a trip with an old person, and you'll never realize how many calamities were upon. No, don't go too close to the edge. Watch it. Don't get near that. You'll fall over. Break your neck. Now, I remember the comedian who says, for all my life, I thought the only injury I could have as a child was a broken neck. My mother would say, don't go there. You break your neck. Don't fall. Break your neck. We took a trip with my mother, God bless her, when she was getting up in years, and we went to Colorado, and we went up that deal, you know. She rode the whole trip looking like this. I'm not looking over the edge. Oh, don't go so close to the edge the entire time. She never enjoyed it because she was so close to the edge. We're going to fall over the edge. That happens when you get old. When you're young, man, you want to hang glide. Yeah, that's fine. Just jump on out there. When you get older, nope. You don't want to look at it in the movies. Remember him, verse 6, before the silver cord is broken, then paralysis sets in. This is the old spinal cord. And the golden bowl is crushed. And the pitcher by the well is shattered. is a coronary. And the wheel of the cistern is crushed. The old respiratory system grinds to a halt. Remember him before death comes. Hey, that is such good counsel. Don't wait till it comes, see. You don't have to keep it up. You don't have to keep going, keep doing all that stuff. Like the one lady who wrote her testimony, she wrote an anxiety poem called Self-Improvement Program. Let me say it again. Self-Improvement Program. When after a recitation of many new advances in everything from needlepoint to guitar to advanced Chinese cooking to primal scream therapy, she concludes this in her poem. I'm working all day and I'm working all night to be good looking, healthy and wise and adored and contented and brave and well-read and a marvelous hostess and bilingual, athletic, artistic. Won't someone please stop me? Honest woman. That's what Ecclesiastes is trying to do. Stop. Now just stop. And do what? Well, verse 13, the conclusion. Number one, fear God. That means take him seriously. Number two, obey God. Do what he says. This applies to every person. We have trafficked in perhaps some of the wisest of counsel we could ever hear. Some of us wish we could have heard it 40 years ago. Some of us wish we had heard it directly and correctly when we did hear it. Let me tell you who concerns me the most. That's the kid that's raised in the church. Born in a choir loft. Never known a Sunday when he wasn't in the joint church. Every Sunday, week after week, month after month. Sunday school, all those badges. Didn't you used to resent kids that had those badges that hang up? They'd lean over and go, whoo, I used to want to go. All over there. They're the ones that concern me the most because they never know a Sunday when they weren't around. They've heard it all. They've seen it all. I mean, their lips move when you talk about the doctrines. They got it down. Graduated from eighth grade deal. Graduated from high school. Summa cum whatever. Laude ha cum. You know, they got out. Got into college. Christian stuff. Christian school. Christian teaching. Christian parents. Christian truth. Christian churches. And then all of a sudden, boom, the lid goes off. And they wonder why. Somebody, somewhere down the line didn't stop and say, hey, what you're picking up is a whole bunch of cliches about religion. Christ isn't vital in your decision as to what car to drive or what career to choose or what decision to make when you're on that date. Christ isn't real. You're just caught up in a syndrome and you've added a lot of extra vernacular that you've picked up all your life. But now that the bills come due and you're surrounded by the sidewalk jungle of competition, you can't cut it. And you're on that plane headed to nowhere and you suddenly realize, I am not prepared for life. Midlife crisis, here I come. I want to tell you, if it could happen to Solomon, it can happen to anybody who hears my voice. Anybody. If it helps you any, I fight like mad that it doesn't happen to me. I address it regularly in my mind. I don't need that stuff. It has no satisfaction. It is an enemy to God. What I need is him in all of his beauty and perfection and care and loveliness. And I need to live under the cross. If I didn't believe that, I'd be a wild stallion. And if he can slow me down, he'd slow you down too. Let's bow together, shall we? For some of you, this message is perhaps the most relevant thing you could have ever heard this year. For others of you, thank God you've come through it. And you see the fallacy of it, and you've just simply had it confirmed. But for some, it still isn't convincing enough. Not convincing enough to break off that affair. Or to say to yourself, I'm going to be satisfied with enough. No, it's for some not that easily learned. Whatever it takes to come to terms with this in your life, I, as your friend and as your shepherd, urge you to do it. The years you have left are a gift from God. You spend them like a coin, any way you wish, but only once. Father, I pray for the man or the woman who spent their years paying for braces, buying bikes, giving up what they wanted, raising kids, planning and going through the vacations, continually giving, continually releasing, who are on the very real cutting edge of a crisis. For them, I pray, as the hurricane velocity hits them in this world system, I pray for you to give them roots that will not give, will not break, and will not bend. I ask you to raise up from among the young of this church a body of men and women who are balanced, in no way shocked by the world system, but very much in touch with it, knowing fully what it means and what it's like. But by your grace, inexperienced in it, and therefore, for the most part, unscarred. And I pray that you will send, like missiles of your grace, some of these people into lives that haven't the foggiest of what has been declared tonight. I pray that you would put us in touch with and keep us in touch with those that do not know the answers, so that we might learn what questions to ask. We ask not so much for knowledge, but we ask for wisdom. Not so much for being sharp and keen, but for being discerning. And I would pray that you would use this message to help that to be accomplished. Help us in the process not to leave our warm love for Christ, who is our all in all. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Ecclesiastes, searching for the meaning of life. Today's study represents one more part in our overview of the whole Bible here on Insight for Living, called God's Masterwork. For additional resources, go online to insightworld.org. Now, we'll hear a personal word from Chuck Swindoll in just a moment, so please do stay with us. Well, in recent months, you've heard Chuck describe the pressing financial needs facing Insight for Living. And we're grateful for the outpouring of support from loyal friends. Maybe you're prepared to step up your commitment to this ministry by conveniently automating your donation. If so, we invite you to join our family of monthly companions. A monthly companion elects to give a contribution every month, as the name implies. Few things help stabilize our financial picture more than this team of devoted friends who provide steady, regular giving. And signing up doesn't take long. You can give us a call or simply go online to insight.org and click on the Donate tab. Now, whether you give a one-time donation or decide to become a monthly companion, we'll say thank you by providing Chuck's latest book, Meet Me in the Library, readings from 8 writers who shaped my life.
Say, if you could name a couple of authors, a few books that have shaped your thinking through the years, what books would make that list? Well, at a time when the publishing industry pushes out thousands of new books in print each year, and even more than that electronically,
I want to share with you selections from 8 works that endure. These are works that have inspired me to reach higher and farther, and they've defined my life in some significant way. My 8 choices are conveniently contained in a new book that I'm calling Meet Me in the Library, Readings from 8 Writers Who Shaped My Life. When you get your copy, you'll see I've chosen selections that touch on various aspects of your life, suffering, joy, and prayer, to name only a few. These profound selections from 8 classic writers are worth reading, worth passing on, and each one should be shared with the next generation and even beyond. So, my friend, meet me in the library.
And you can get a copy of Chuck Swindoll's new book, Meet Me in the Library, by giving a donation of any amount. If you're listening in the United States, give us a call at 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. If you've never called or written to us, you're invited to do so today and request a free CD teaching from Chuck called Getting Through the Tough Stuff of Anxiety. You may be feeling a sense of uneasiness right now because of circumstances entirely outside your control. Well, ask for Chuck Swindoll's free CD on overcoming anxiety. In the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. The free CD isn't available online, but for other resources, such as Chuck's latest book, Meet Me in the Library, go to insight.org. Next week, Chuck Swindoll continues our Masterwork series with a message on Song of Solomon here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Ecclesiastes, Searching for the Meaning of Life, was copyrighted in 1979, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2011 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.